Hi, it's Greg and Lucky.
And this is our podcast. If you don't catch us from 5 to 9, this is what you missed.
Tonight, there is a hockey game, which if the past has taught us anything, and I'm old enough now to be able to read this plot. And I've seen this story before. Leafs will win tonight.
Right.
They will.
Give some hope.
Well, because this is how this is what they do. This is what the Toronto Maple Leafs do to their fans. They'll win tonight, and it'll probably be a decent win. And everybody in Toronto will be, look at this, we're bouncing back. And right. Then they'll get absolutely smoked on Thursday or whenever the next game is. This is how it plays in.
Right.
This is how it's done. Anyhow, we shall see. I'm seeing some stuff online, and I went and I watched the video. I guess there's a bunch of people who are basically chiming in to say John Tavares might be the worst captain in the history of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Is just his zero passion in anything he says, right, and any approach he makes. And so I went and watched the video, and it's very typical of a hockey player of today.
Yeah.
The way they speak, the way they act. Then I started thinking back to the captains of not just the Leafs, but of other teams. And the first name that popped into my head was Steve Yzerman, who I had heard. And I was never in a Detroit Red Wings dressing room, so what do I know? But I had heard the younger players were intimidated by him. And if he was out there with a broken foot, you needed to be out there with a broken foot. And he, just by a stare, could command that dressing room.
Right.
And I don't know anything about John Tavares. You know him better than I do. I just don't know that he holds that. My impression of him is that he doesn't hold that sway in the dressing room.
Well,
again, I don't know.
Well, and that I think is the biggest issue I would have with this is that, you know, these are fans looking at video of him doing media press conferences or talking to the media and assuming that that's how he leads in the dressing room. You know, it's kind of like, you know, going through the drive-through of McDonald's and assuming you know that all that's going on in behind the scenes in there in the restaurant kind of thing. Like, you're seeing just a glimpse of what's happening. And, you know, I can tell you from my experience with John, you know, I started with the Oshawa Generals around the same time that he arrived onto the scene. And with that, I started with a radio broadcast and doing interviews with the players pre and post games. And obviously, being the young star and rising star he was, and when he became captain of the Generals, one of our mainstay interviews. And so from the age of 16 to 18, I can, in those 2-3 years of talking with John and getting to know him a little bit, there is an off camera and an on camera John Tavares. And he was probably the first player that I really saw a difference once agents and media training became a part of their, I guess, repertoire.
Yep.
All right. And you know, my first interviews I remember with John, eye to eye contact and kind of open and a little easier to talk to. By the end of his tenure here, it was, you know, face down, thinking about his answers and how it will help the team and what he doesn't want to divulge too much of. So, you know, watching an interview that he does with someone, you know, taped or on camera and assuming that's how he leads in the dressing room, two very different things. And I don't know what kind of leader he is in the room. You know, I know him as to be a pretty quiet guy, but at the same time, you know, we've watched behind the scenes with that Amazon special and gotten as close. That's as close as you'll ever get to being inside that room. And you could tell that the players, especially when he went down, really cared about him and that he did speak up at times as leader in that room. To compare him to Steve Yzerman, I mean, there's 32 captains in the NHL right now. Compare him to the 31 others that are going right now.
Oh yeah, it's 2024. It's a different room. It's a different time. I mean, you can't have And as a Leaf fan, you can't have your Doug Gilmores and your Wendell Clarks as captain anymore. So, it doesn't work. But
you get some blowhard online who's like, well, he doesn't remind me of Yzerman. Well, I don't know. Does McDavid?
No, but nobody said I said Yzerman. Right. I didn't see that online. I was just pulling for a captain that I had heard a story of.
Gotcha.
I hadn't heard that story of Wendell Clark. I hadn't heard that story of Doug Gilmore nor Matt Sundin or any other captain I could barely pull out of my ass to talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs.
That's what I mean. I don't think Connor McDavid is the most engaging person either.
Probably not.
Right?
Probably not.
And is he that kind of leader in the room other than saying, come on, boys, I can't do it all myself.
Yeah.
Or start doing what I do. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't even know what they would say or wouldn't say or even if it matters anymore. At the end of the day, it's probably Sheldon Keefe throwing things around and screaming and yelling at everybody in the dressing room.
I saw a great moment, and it was, I don't know where it came from. It was online where I saw it. And I actually thought, at some point, if I'm coaching with the kids' hockey teams, I'd probably do the same thing. Because you start to get captains and assistant captains now, and you're trying to get the team to encourage themselves. But it was Jim Montgomery, who's the head coach of the Boston Bruins, talking to Brad Marchand on the bench. Mm. And he basically said, there were some games during the season this year. And in the middle of the period, he said to Marchand on the shoulder, he tapped him on the shoulder and said, listen, I'm not coming in the room this period.
Mm.
You need to talk to the guys. This is what I want you to tell them, right? What we did in the first period, it sucked. What we've done to bounce back here in the second is much better. We need to keep this going in the third. Stick with the plan, but you do the delivery. And I thought that was brilliant. Right, because
brilliant, or wouldn't they already know this stuff? They're professional hockey players.
Of course, but
they played well in the second.
They know everything that the coach has already told them. They've set that up. They've done video. They've got to the assistant coaches. They've gone to the skills coaches. They know what to do. Mm. Obviously, it's just who delivers the message. And so if you want your captain to establish superiority in that room, or you want to encourage your captain to talk to everyone in that room, I thought that was an interesting thing. The coach can come in, kick a garbage can and tell them, listen, that second period sucked. We need to go back to what we're doing in the first.
Right.
But he wanted the captain to deliver that message because he wanted his room to rally around the captain.
What we need in that dressing room is the coach from Letterkenny.
Right, exactly.
He was good.
Kick a garbage can.
And I will say this, never ever should the word brilliant and hockey be used in the same sentence. All right, it's time for us to get hip and with the times, Lucky. Someone polled Gen Zers and asked them to name the most outdated acronyms they could think of and are cringy now. LOL is number one.
Wow.
If you text it to someone in their early 20s, they'll think you're a boomer, even if you're not.
Gotcha.
Other ones that we need to change up. Instead of YOLO.
YOLO.
Yeah. Write DIFTP. It means do it for the plot. You're the main character in your life, so don't avoid things.
Oh, my goodness.
Do what it takes to move the story along. It's the DIFTP.
I mean, we don't live just once anymore. So
I guess. Yeah, it's along the lines of the fear of missing out, right?
Yeah.
I guess. What was the YOLO for? What did that stand for?
You only live once.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't even know. I've never used it. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Instead of KK, write bet. KK means okay. I've only ever gone with 1K.
Right. Or 3.
Well, when I'm at the meetings. I'm running
buying bed sheets. It's 3.
When I'm running to be the chairman, so
I never understood the KK because okay is right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you're supposed to go with bet now.
Okay.
Instead of LMFAO.
Yep.
Right. IJBOL, short for I just burst out laughing.
Oh, that seems a lot. LOL is easier. And more likely than bursting out laughing. Is it not the same thing?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I never liked the LMFAO because nobody ever laughed their arse off.
No.
And do you need the F in there?
No, that's just, egregiously laughing your arse off.
Yeah. Stop using ROFL. It's short for rolling on the floor laughing.
Right, yeah. That doesn't happen either.
No, just send a skull emoji. Like, it's so funny. Skull. Because you just died laughing.
Oh.
These kids today.
Man, it's a real reach.
Yeah. Don't shorten the word great by spelling G-R-8.
Okay.
Say that slaps.
Boy, that's a lot more typing, isn't it?
I guess.
You got from 3 characters to like 9.
Don't say diss, say clap back.
Again.
More letters.
3 letters to 8.
This one is 1 letter shorter. Stop saying things like fire. It's already lame. Lit is back in style. Okay.
There's an emoji for that, though.
Is there?
Just use the fire emoji.
Don't call things gross. Call them ick.
Okay. Well, at least that's less letters.
I like this. Never say, give me the 411. No one under 40 knows the number for directory assistance. Instead, say, what's the tea or spill the tea?
That is true.
Yeah.
Don't ask the operator because
no,
there isn't one anymore.
Probably not. Stop calling crazy people cray cray.
Okay.
In 24, it's delulu.
Okay.
Short for delusional.
Yes.
Or just pick up the phone and call somebody. Try that, can't we? A couple is thrilled to be reunited with their cat, who mysteriously disappeared 2 weeks ago. They looked all over for her, even put up signs in the neighborhood. Turned out, though, the cat didn't run away. The couple shipped her to Amazon. She loves hiding in boxes, and she was inside a box of work boots that was later packed up and dropped off and returned to Amazon. The cat was in the box for 6 days without food and water before being discovered by an Amazon employee who immediately started caring for the cat. She took her to the vet, who scanned her for a microchip. The cat's owner says she was stunned to get a call that her cat had traveled across the country. She's recovering without any serious issues, although it's very good that she was found when she was. Now, this is the odd part of the story, and this is where I just kind of shake my head and think, well, this is the reason things like this happen. She was in a big box. This couple just weren't shipping out one pair of boots. There were 5 pairs because they were doing Amazon's Try Before You Buy program. Now, I don't know if that's available here.
Okay.
It's just an American thing. But, like, we don't have enough Amazon boxes. Now they're and crap and garbage. Now they're going to send it to you so you can try it and then send it back.
That's, well, listen, even if that policy, I'm not sure if that policy exists here or not, but people do it anyway.
Yeah.
You say, buy it, have it shipped here, and if it doesn't fit, I'll return it. It's almost too easy to return. And the second you have to pay return fees, or they make it incredibly difficult too, you know, like if you had to actually go back to one of those Amazon facilities, park, and walk to the door to return something, you'd probably get a lot less orders on Amazon as well.
Probably. Here, I would make this suggestion to our government after all the up in the air screaming and yelling about the carbon tax and, you know, trying to now their new budget, trying to help young people and even the playing ground. You want to, 1, save the environment, and 2, not just tax the average common man. Put a, like a carbon tax, a garbage tax on companies like Amazon.
Right.
You create so much garbage, you've got to pay this much more.
Right.
I know.
Well, then they'll shovel it down to the consumer, and the consumer will argue and probably pay it anyway, because that's what we do now.
I love that. Try before you buy. Try going into a grocery store or any brick and mortar store. Oh, I'll just take that suit home.
Right.
I'll wear it for a week.
But that is how an actual shoe store works.
You don't try before you buy.
Yeah, you go on and you try which pair fits you best.
Yes, but this Amazon's sending it to your house.
I understand.
You're not leaving their store.
That's what I mean. That's why. Well, the actual try before you buy. If you're not sure if you're going to like this pair of boots or something like that, maybe buy your pair of boots from a brick and mortar store.
Yes.
Go in, try them on, right?
Yes. Go clothing, anything that's attached to your body. Anything that's attached to your body, go to a brick and mortar store and buy it.
Right.
I've heard so many stories constantly. I ordered a pair of jeans, a shirt, a top. They didn't fit.
Yeah.
So back into a box it goes and back out it goes.
Yeah.
Here's an idea. Mix and mingle. Get out amongst the people. Talk to somebody. I heard somebody say recently, and I just thought it was a pretty smart little comment. And it's more directed, I guess, at young people because of the phone and such. And screens and everything we're in front of. Nothing great in your life will ever happen looking at your phone.
Mm.
Nothing great. Nothing. Zero. Life experiences happen when you are actually amongst other people and doing things.
Right.
So go to a store and buy your jocks. Don't order your jocks online. Over the weekend, I had some real problems with my pipes being plugged. You know, you don't like your pipes being plugged.
Is this Dr. Downer or Colonial Pools?
This is like, Colonial Pools now. Both of them are working on my pipes. Dr. Downer can't seem to find an answer to my plugged pipes. But the Colonial Pools certainly did. Because once again, I screwed it up in opening the pool. I keep forgetting every year the steps I'm supposed to follow. And I always clog it up. If you have a pool, here's what you have to remember if you have the same problem I do, or you probably already know this, and I'm just too much of an idiot to remember. But you get your skimmer basket, you leave that in when you're cleaning your pool for the first time, and then you get yourself one of them covers that goes over the skimmer basket, and your hose goes into that, and then you put your pump onto waste. So all the gunk at the bottom of the pool is just going into the skimmer basket, not into your filtering system, which I screw up every year. And every year, Colonial Pools shows up and fixes it. So I was in a mad panic texting Michelle on Sunday. And I got home yesterday just after 9. And I looked outside and I said, the pump is on. They had already come and fixed it before I even got home. Oh, the pool whisperers. I'm telling you, if you own a pool or you're going to be buying a house with a pool.
As you were going through the instructions of what you have to do, I realized what it must sound like when I talk about hockey to you. It was completely foreign.
No, true. True.
I had no idea what you were talking about.
I thought you were going to say boring. But yes, foreign. Yes, no, that's true. I was really speaking directly to the people who have a pool.
Yeah. Yeah, because so, I come over to your house, I unlatch the back gate,
mm-hmm.
and then I go and jump in and leave before you notice. That's about all I know.
Yeah, and you're more than welcome to do that.
Uh-huh. That's what I know about pool care.
And then yesterday, so after Colonial Pool saved the day, I have our TV in the living room, which is on 28 hours a day.
That's right.
It's on a mount, and it can turn.
Okay.
So when you're in the kitchen, you can turn it towards the kitchen, whatever. And at some point, Maria hated that all these wires were hanging down the back.
Yes.
So, you know, from the receiver and the this and the that and the, you know, the fire stick and all the just different stuff you have plugged in. So she decided to kind of combine them all and tie them together.
All right.
But what happened, she tied them kind of tight. So every time you turned it, the wires were pulling on the HDMI inputs. Yeah. So my inputs were, my pipes were clogged and my inputs were broken. So I had men at my house working on all my inputs.
So basically around your house, anything that goes in or out is an issue.
Is broken. But I had professional men on the job taking care of all my pipes and my inputs. So that was a big day for Craigie. A bunch of kids were online talking about things that they thought were boring when they were young, but as adults excite them now. You know, when you're a kid and you get like a great gift or even a new pair of shoes. So much excitement.
Right, yeah.
Wear those new shoes home.
Straight out of the store.
It's so much fun.
I don't even know why they put the old ones in the box.
Yeah. Yeah, they should just
had a textile recycling right there.
So some things that we thought were boring when we were younger but excite us now. People said slicing into a perfectly ripe avocado is exciting now.
Okay, that's... Your life is sad if that's your excitement.
Bird watching, Instapots.
Wow.
These are all things we find exciting now as adults. Organizing. Sitting in silence and alone time doing nothing. We don't get, for many adults, especially if you get kids, you don't get a lot of that. Paying bills is exciting. How often say, like, twice a month when we get paid, I'll send out a WhatsApp to the family. I'll go, if you hear a lot of language and crying, it's just me on bill payment day.
Right. Yep.
Checking items off your to-do list, puzzles, high quality bedding.
Oh, you find exciting enough. Goodness.
And spending time sleeping probably in that high quality bedding.
Likely.
Going to the grocery store or a place like Shoppers Drug Mart and getting a great deal on something. Someone said swiping my loyalty card and watching the total drop. This is what we find exciting now. Walking into a Costco? No, I don't think that's exciting. It's dread because you just know what's going to happen.
There's some excitement. It's like gambling, right? You're looking for the lights and which one's got the best deal going on here.
Yeah.
And then you come out with regret.
Yard work, cleaning, getting up early on a Saturday to go to the local farmer's market, and leftovers. We find leftovers exciting.
Oh, my goodness. You mentioned loyalty cards, and that's, I guess, one of the issues that some of the complaints coming in about Loblaws right now is that there's prices, specific prices, if you're like their Optimum member
right,
or something like that. They're saying, okay, well, the complaint is let's ditch that and just give a nice low price to everyone here. And there is a big online backlash now that Loblaws is starting to pay attention to because not much has been done. And there's a story circulating in the news today about just, you know, the prices and the bills that we're having to pay. And with grocery stores, the federal government had set up this new grocery task force to try and monitor and stabilize food prices. They set that up in the fall. It has yet to conduct any investigations so far. Apparently, they don't have any mandate to enforce the action, so they haven't even bothered looking.
Wow.
And this is 6 months later. People are struggling.
Yep.
And you've got a task force to at least look into it and put pressure on the grocery stores, and they can't seem to do that.
No. And is, I think No Frills. Is No Frills owned? Are they under the
umbrella? That's under the umbrella, yeah.
Because I notice when I go into No Frills, on almost every item in that store, it'll say, and I don't know what their loyalty card is, but if you're such and such a member, the price is, if you're not a member, the price is $4. If you are a member, it's $3.50. So
right,
they must be doing the same, same thing. Yeah, well, we just hope the Weston family is able to keep it together. Concerned about that. Yesterday, when you heard the story of Ontario schools probably implementing one of the strongest phone banning or phone restrictions in our schools across the country. Now, many other countries have banned cell phones in schools and to much success. And I am surprised how long it's taken not just Ontario, but this country to get their head wrapped around it. Kids from up to grade 6 have to put their cell phones away and on silent mode when in school. This starts in September. Those in grades 7 to 12 will only have access between classes and lunch. Exceptions, of course, can be made. If the teacher wants them to be on their phone for learning purposes, and, of course, parents can alert the school with any concerns regarding medical or custody situations.
Okay.
But outside of that, and listen, I think it's all good. I think that certainly the kids are distracted with the phones in school. It's funny too that they're banning vaping. Like, how did they just get around to that? Kids can't smoke on campus anymore. And so we'll see how it plays out. Of course, the Teachers Federation, the unions, of course, as they do, are complaining because right, that's what they do. They say, listen, we had no input in this. The government's Stephen Lecce's just, putting in these new rules, and the problem is we need more teachers. The phones aren't the problem. The lack of staff is the problem. And so, right, of course, they're going to stand that battle.
Well, I mean, I will give them the one beef. Now they become the bad guy in this. The teacher has to take away the phone or has to deal with, you know, a confrontation.
Yep.
With someone who feels entitled to their phone. And that would get incredibly frustrating dealing with, you know, some kid who thinks that they don't have to listen to you because you're not an authority figure to them.
Yeah, there's a lack of respect certainly already. And I think that if you're not wrong, I think that if a teacher tries to remove the phone and supposedly If a phone is used, it will have to be immediately surrendered. Yet you're going to have some not only screaming matches, but punch-ups between teachers and students.
And that's it, right? And you know, now it'll just be, well, if you get on your phone, go to the office, right? And the office has to deal with it. Somewhere someone has to deal with this issue and likely won't be a parent in these cases.
No, and as we know, the world of teaching has changed completely. There was a time when parents and teachers were on the same page, and that just doesn't seem to be the case anymore. And as much as, and I had heard some people on talk radio yesterday discussing it, and mostly parents chiming in, and all of them said 100%, the phone should be banned, totally on board. I get it. I understand. That's the good face we put out there to the general public. But you just know, like when it comes to medical issues,
right?
Every kid will now have a problem.
Well,
because it's parents will all say, yes, 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 that's right. But the fact that they can't get a hold of their kid immediately when they want to,
right,
for a variety of reasons. Most of them probably could wait till they get home anyhow, but many will be upset and bothered by this.
Let me tell you from my experience, because I have two kids that are both in school. One is in high school. One is in elementary school. Both have cell phones. At the elementary school level, they surrender them to the class. They go into a locked desk or cabinet once they arrive to school, or they're turned off. No problem with that whatsoever. I completely agree with it, unless they are told to use it for an assignment, which I also, to be perfectly honest, I think is important. I think it's important that kids are taught that they have the answer to everything in their hand. Use it for that. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with my kids where they ask me a stupid question and I get pissed off because you have the answer in your hand. And you don't even have to type it now. You can literally ask Siri for that answer and she'll give it to you. It's not cool not to know anything anymore. So I think kids do need to be taught that they can use that tool for research and find the answers to common problems that they may have using it. That being said, if the teacher doesn't need them to use that, put the thing away.
Yeah.
But we have had the situation a couple of times this year where schools have gone into lockdown. And as a parent, when you hear that the school has gone into lockdown, there is a panic that's associated.
Your kids' schools went into lockdown?
Yes, directly affecting my kids. Have gone into lockdown, police situation. We've heard there's been some sort of violence that's happened at the school. Police have responded, and we don't know what's happening. We don't hear more from that. It is reassuring if you can hear from your kid, yeah, it's all good. Fight down in the hallway or something.
Yeah, but
like
wouldn't
that.
The school, because you say all the time that the school's constantly sending you notifications about your
kids'
progress.
They'll send you a notification that there's a lockdown, but if it's a police matter, they don't give you further details of that. And so, you know, given what's happened, obviously tragedies at other schools, most of them south of the border, there is a sense as a parent of a quick panic as a, okay, is everything, what exactly is happening here? Are you affected by this? And so at that point, right, having the ability for them to turn on and contact you can be useful.
Okay.
But that being said, I agree for the most part that these things, if I hear, you know, a note from my teacher or from a teacher of my kid that he's distracted in class by his cell phone, then I will resolve that issue. I'm a parent that way. Many parents wouldn't do that.
No, I think there's going to be a lot of parents who, yes, like I said, will on one side of their face will say, yes, yes, yes. But immediately when they get a chance to speak to the school, they will say, oh, no, my Billy needs virtual hugs 12
right.
times a day. Look, it's so ingrained. It's actually a shame that it's happening now because we're all so addicted to the phone. It's like an alcoholic. You really can't just pull it out of their hand. You know, to just say come this September, there's no access. Now, I will say, and I'm with you 100%. As being a parent, had my kids, you know, had to deal with any lockdowns and such, and they didn't. But that being said, it is said that kids from grade 7 to 12 will only have access between classes and at lunch. So mm-hmm. that means the phone is probably on them.
Right.
Okay, so if there's a lockdown, it doesn't mean that Evan can't turn it on and say, I'm fine.
I'm good. And I'm fine with that. I completely agree with all of this. And what's interesting is, because I think most people, even if you have kids, if you have a job that you're at, when people who are not part of that job are trying to contact you during that job, you're frustrated by that, right? Or you might think of calling Maria, and you're like, she's at work. I won't bother her with that.
Yeah, but we're adults.
I know.
But when you're 17.
But what I'm saying is the adults who are complaining about this, that their kids can't be contacted, have to remember they're at school. Yeah. You shouldn't be contacting them unless it's an emergency. And then you have ways to contact them by calling the school. And, you know, the parents take advantage of this as much as the kids do. Mm-hmm. Have your phone on so I can let you know that at 3:15 remind you that you've got a dental appointment and so I need you to get you out quick. Remind them before they go to school or, you know, have them turn on their phone as soon as they're finished school. And that's what mine do. Their phones go off and then they turn on as soon as school is finished. And they usually text us on my way home.
The other thing that's kind of funny about all of this is the schools are banning and they're going to lock down any access to social media and websites through their schools' modems and all that. Yeah, kids are smart. They know how to get to hotspots. They'll still find stuff that they want to find.
I mean, they have to at least try. But the same thing with workplaces, right? Like, do you need Facebook on a work computer? The answer is no, right? And so in the school, if it's on their Wi-Fi, if they want to ban Snapchat from it, sure, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not one to often defend teachers. And actually, you know, it's probably unfair how much I, you know, complain about them because
it's only justified by the sense that teachers love to give it back.
Yeah, it's just I think it's more the teachers' federations and the unions that because as soon as I heard this story break yesterday, I said, wait for it. And the story is the ban of the phones and the union and the federations aren't happy. And I went, here we go again.
Right.
But listen, if I was a teacher and I had to tell some 17-year-old who's 6'2" to put his phone away.
Right.
Yeah, you're going to have some real problems. Well, you're going to have some spoiled little brats freaking out.
And you know, their lack of consultation. And we all get frustrated at that in our jobs, right? When people above us make decisions that directly affect us and how we do our jobs, but don't even ask.
Yeah, don't consult us at all.
Consult. Hey, how do you think this would go over?
That never happens here.
Rock Mornings with Craig Venn and Lucky. 94.9 The Rock.